You're listening to Gaming Night Radio, the perfect podcast for your gaming nights. With reviews, news, and discussions, we celebrate the best of gaming and call out the worst. Along with your host, longtime gamer, master of the obvious, and grumpiest old man, Matt Ailey. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? What is going on? Welcome to episode 29 of Gaming Night Radio. I'm your host, Matt Ailey. Thank you for joining me today and coming by and hanging out and checking out this podcast, really, this little podcast, only episode 29, that you've never heard of in your entire life. You've never heard of me. You have no idea who I am, but yet you are here checking it out, coming to hang out, and I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking a chance on this podcast. And for those of you who have been here before, I appreciate you too. Don't worry, I see you in the back. I appreciate you too. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming back and coming on by for another episode. And because of that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do my best to not let you down. Welcome to Gaming Night Radio. Now, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Well, maybe not a lot, but there's a lot of meat on the bones of the topics that we have to talk about today. We have finally seen Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition, quite a mouthful, along with the release date and price, but not everybody is happy about it. Are they wrong or are they right? That's the question we're going to take on today. And Halo Infinite has finally given us our first look at the campaign in over an entire year. And while it looks big, expansive even, will the story suffer? That is the question. And those are the questions we're going to be taking on today. But first, before we get into those, I want to start with another important question. And this question has been on my mind recently as I've been looking at the gaming industry and seeing all the different delays and all the different things that have been happening. And it's something I've been just kind of chewing on, and I want to do a section on it for the podcast, but I just don't know if I have the full perspective yet, and I would like your input. And this is the question. Is gaming as we see it today sustainable? Right? The long development times. You have delays, troubling developer conditions that are being shown more and more often. We have microtransactions. There's high cost to us. There's high cost to the studios. There's harassment by and to fellow gamers and developers. There's live service games that never stop. Like, they just want you to play all the time. And honestly, at the same time, want all your money. And there's 80 plus hour experiences out there. Like, is this all sustainable? Is gaming today as we see it sustainable? That's the question. And what can be done differently? So if you have thoughts on that, if you have any ideas, if this is something that's been kind of bugging you lately and kind of eating at you, please let me know what your thoughts are on this so I can kind of collect those types of things. So your different thoughts, your different ideas, your different perspectives, because maybe you see it differently. Maybe you think everything's fine and this is the way it should be. Or maybe you think it's worse and you think gaming's doomed. Somewhere, you know, right now I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. Whether it's sustainable or not, I'm not 100% sure. So if you have thoughts about this, if you have any ideas, if this is something that's been on your mind, please let me know. And if you have any other thoughts, questions, or topics, or content you would like to hear in this podcast, here is how you can share your voice. Leave a message on speakpipe.com/GKRadioConnect. You can email me at gamingnightradio@gmail.com. Follow me and DM me on Twitter at GKRadioMat. And we're going to be live recording these episodes soon. I know I keep saying soon. It's week after week after week, but it's coming. It's a process. It's a process. But we're going to be doing live recordings soon on Twitch. So if you want to come on by for that, you make sure you go and follow me on Twitch. Now, all these links that I said are down in the show notes. So you don't even have to look them up. You don't have to remember them. Head down to the show notes, give the links a click, and away we go. And with that all out of the way, folks, let's get into today's episode. So, right off the hop today, we have Guardians of the Galaxy. The reviews just came out today. Well, technically yesterday by the time you're listening to this, or, you know, maybe earlier in the day if you're listening into the wee early hours of the morning. But Guardians of the Galaxy, the reviews are finally out. And this is, if you look at the different reviews and you kind of get a, you know, feeling for them, really a consensus that I've seen across it is that this is better than they were all expecting. They were expecting something maybe really low class, maybe somewhere in the middle, especially because this is coming from Square Enix. Now, it's developed by Eidos Montreal, but coming from Square Enix, which their last Marvel game was Marvel Avengers, obviously has a lot of people concerned and had a lot of people concerned. And I'm in the same boat, but I'm happy to say a lot of the reviewers say this was a better game than they expected. Now, there's some bugs, and it's not perfect, and you're either going to really like or really dislike the combat. But overall, the story and the characters are really, really solid, and it is a surprise of an experience. That's kind of the overall thoughts that I've been seeing as I go through the reviews. Game Informer gave it a 4.5 out of 5, which is good. IGN gave it a 4 out of 5. Games Radar gave it a 4 out of 5. VG247 gave it a 4 out of 5. Game Rant, 4 out of 5. What's this? Wektech? Wiftech? No, these guys are. Gave it a 4 out of 5. Screen Rant gave it a 3 out of 5. GameSpot gave it a 3 out of 5. So you're kind of sitting in that above average. And maybe you could say even probably a solid 7 or 8 of a game. It's not the best. A lot of people have also said it has a lot of room to grow in a sequel, and a sequel should be able to just blow the doors off this whole idea. So I'm very excited, and that makes me really happy. I've been on the fence if I'm going to get this game, at least right away. I was like, well, if the reviews are bad, probably going to just leave it. But the reviews are very positive, and that definitely makes me happy. Let me know how you feel about that. Guardians of the Galaxy, are you going to try out this game? Are you going to see what it has to offer? Because right now the reviewers are saying it's looking good. And by the time this podcast is out, it should already be released. So if you want to play it, well, the reviews say it's worth your money. Next off the hop, online services for Halo Xbox 360 games are shutting down on January 2022. This was news that I saw today, and I gotta say, it was a little disappointing. Now, most of them, to be honest, is it really that, like, disappointing? At the end of the day, most of the games from the Xbox 360 era are already on the Master Chief Collection, so really, do we have to worry about it? Is there that many people actually out there playing the 360 versions of Halo 3, ODST, Halo 4, Combat Evolved Anniversary? Probably not. Is there a lot of people playing the multiplayer for Spartan Assault? I'm gonna guess not. But the one game that gets me to my core, that's going to lose its online functionality in January 2022 is Halo Wars. Oh, man. Like, listen, I know there's Halo Wars 2, but Halo Wars 1, I have so many fond memories of playing that multiplayer, even just with my brother. And every once in a while, when we get the opportunity, or we get that feeling, or we get that itch to play some Halo Wars together, we're jumping on Halo Wars 1, and we're wrecking shop together. So I'm a little disappointed that Halo Wars is going to lose its online functionality. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff you can do in the single player area there as well, but I'm going to be a little disappointed I can't play with my brother anymore. At least on that. I don't know. Now, I don't know if that also includes the definitive edition type things or the one that came out slightly later. I'm assuming it's just Halo Wars across the board. So if you're a Halo Wars fan and you like playing online with your buds, get those rounds in now, because come January, it's going bye-bye. Next off the hop, a new state of play is incoming tomorrow, October 27th. And this is another state of play from PlayStation. It's going to be at 2 p.m. Pacific time and 5 p.m. Eastern time. So you're going to have to figure out and do the math of that one exactly, depending where you are, how you're going to, you know, tune into that one. And it's going to be broadcast on the official PlayStation channels on Twitch and YouTube, of course. And this one isn't going to focus on any specific first-party game, but this showcase is going to focus on third-party releases coming to both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 in the future. And the presentation is clocking on the shorter side at around 20 minutes. So, yeah, it's not going to be a big PlayStation thing as far as, you know, getting exclusives and new big announcements. It's not like we're getting another look at Marvel's Spider-Man 2, or we're not getting a look at another Horizon Forbidden West type of thing. This is really going to focus on those third-party releases that are going to be coming to PlayStation. And at the same time as that, even though it's not PlayStation exclusives, there's still some really exciting third-party games out there that are going to be coming to PlayStation. What it could possibly be in this showcase, I don't know. Is there going to be new announcements? Are we going to see something new? Maybe. We'll just have to wait and see. But not too long, because it is tomorrow. Again, 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. I'll see you there. And last off the hop, WB, Warner Brothers, may be making a game called Multiverses. And this, I saw this today. This got posted today around noon. And this is coming from, where is this? GameSpot article that I'm looking at right now. So if you're a fan of Smash Brothers and you're really excited for this Nickelodeon fighting game that's going to be coming out, this is going to be a great one to add to that list, because WB is making a fighting game featuring, yes, just their WB-owned characters like Batman and Gandalf. Also Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry, Fred Flintstone, Mad Max, Johnny Bravo, and potentially Harry Potter and Ron. And on the 27th of September, Warner Brothers filed a trademark for a game called Multiverses. And that's what I'm guessing this would be. Could you imagine setting up a fight between Shaggy and Gandalf? Who is supposed to win that? What does that even look like? Apparently, we're going to be finding out pretty soon. And that's all for today's Right Off the Hop. All right, let's get into our first topic of the day. On Monday morning, 343 released their overview of the Halo Infinite campaign. And this was the first new look at the Halo Infinite campaign that we've gone in over a year's time. The last time we saw it was at last year's E3. Everyone got pissed, and I was also one of them. Like, what the hell is this? What is going on? What is going on? And could you imagine if that game still released last year? Could you imagine? Like, I'm sure it would just have been, if we don't have co-op gameplay right now, if we don't have Forge right now, still going on 3 6-month delays on those. Could you imagine what it was like? What it would have been like if it released last year? Rough is all I gotta say about that. It would have been very rough. But this is our first new look at the actual campaign itself since that legendary, not the great way, maybe infamous E3. And it was about 6 minutes long, give or take, you know, a couple seconds there. And my first thought at the end of watching it this morning was thinking, man, I wish we saw a little bit more. I wish we saw a little bit more. Now, I don't need a whole lot more. I don't need a whole lot of details about the story. I don't need every little specific thing shown to me. But it would have been nice to see like a new environment biome. It would have been nice to see kind of a, you know, the potential of different areas, or to even, you know what, the thing is for me, I think, is just to get an understanding of the tone of this story. Because I'm still not sure what's the tone of this game. And I mean, a narrative trailer would really, really help with that, because trailers are great. Not only, like we talked about last week, bringing up your excitement level, right? That's a trailer's job, to bring up your excitement level. But it's also a great way to communicate in a broader term, what the story is about. It's a great way to communicate the tone of the story that you're trying to communicate, whether it's in video games, whether it's in films, whether it's in TV shows. You really get a feel for the tone of the project. And that is, I think, for me, the one big thing that's missing. When I watched this Halo Infinite campaign, I'm still not sure what the tone is. But yeah, I mean, I just wish I had a better feel for the tone of this story. Is there going to be a sense of urgency? Are we trying to save the world? Are we just trying to slowly build up a resistance piece by piece? Is it a little bit more of a slow burn? I just am trying to get a feel for this thing, and nothing that they've shown, I can get a really good idea and feel for. Also, nothing that they've shown has been anything really different, anything new. Again, it's all kind of the same type of areas, same type of environment that we have seen before. And I'm not trying to be picky. I'm not trying to be overcritical. It's just, these are my cautions. These are my little flags that pop up. Why not, at this point, when this game's coming out in December, why haven't I got something that's just going to really give me an idea of the tone of this story? Why have I not gone to see a little bit more than kind of what we've already seen just now looking better? That's just the questions for me. And again, you don't have to get into details. You don't have to get into spoilers. But it would be nice just to have a better understanding of the overall package. And that's important to me. And when I'm not getting an idea of the overall package, it makes me feel a little bit, I just get cautious. Not that I'm not excited. I just get cautious. And mainly because of Halo 5, especially when we're talking about Halo. Usually, I would go into Halo saying just, hey, I trust them. It's going to be great. But because of Halo 5, I am cautious. Halo 5 had one of the best marketing campaigns out of the Halo games. Halo 2 was great, but Halo 5 was also great. It got you excited. It got you pumped. They had the right music. They set the tone for the game. You kind of knew what you were getting as you were going along. And it was all very, very exciting and really, really well done. Now, the problem with it, none of that was actually true. The problem with the Halo 5 marketing campaign is none of it was really true. They just picked little bits and pieces to create this kind of tone, and it never had that feeling, and it never embraced the potential, the story that they were selling time and time again. Now, I was talking to my one buddy about this, and I was saying, like, I'm pretty sure Halo 5 was a much larger game, and kind of last second, they're like, cut half of it. We're not making it. We bit off a bit more than we can chew. Let's get rid of a lot of it. Because there's so many story beats in that game that you're just like, none of this is deserved. There wasn't character growth for this. This seems so out of place in this spot. It seems so weird, but I just think Halo 5 is supposed to be a way bigger game with a way deeper story, and they totally severely cut back on that, but not in time enough to change a lot of the marketing or what the marketing had planned. So the marketing went out as it was supposed to be. That's my theory anyway. I don't feel like they straight out just manipulated us and lied, but I feel like there was just a significant change in the story and how everything was going to go in Halo 5. But with that said, like that makes me cautious. And because, you know, great trailers can come out for bad games and you can have bad trailers for great games. But the thing is, I haven't really seen much of a trailer at all. I have no idea what this tone is. I have no idea what they're going for. I have no idea. No idea. Now, we understand a little bit more about the open world, but that also has its own question marks. So I don't know. I just wish we saw a little bit more. I wish I had some sort of understanding of what this project is. Whether I like it or whether I don't, I'm just in this position right now where I just feel like I don't know. I don't know. Halo 5, at least I knew. I mean, it was wrong, but you knew. But in this, it's like, yeah, I just don't know. Now, breaking down what we saw a little bit, that graphic update was impressive, wasn't it? You cannot deny looking at Halo Infinite last year, looking at what they dropped today, You cannot deny that it was a major, major graphical update, and it is very impressive. It looks great, from the lighting, to the graphics, to the little details, to the look of the brutes. They look just so much better. So much better. To the open world, to the lighting, nothing's clipping in or out, nothing looks bad. It just, graphically and visually, this game is going to be amazing. Just on a graphics and visual element alone, this game's going to be amazing. It's going to blow your mind. There's going to be some really, really beautiful eye candy for us to all enjoy, especially if you're rocking a high-end PC or an Xbox next-gen console. I think it's just going to be something so, so special. So that was one of the nice things that we got out of this walkthrough, is just being able to compare what we've seen before to what we're seeing now, and like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, that looks hell of a lot better. But they also walked through some of the open world and RPG aspects, and not walk through, but they did kind of show us, give us a little feel for that as well. And that's kind of where my other concern comes in. At the end of the day, that's definitely where another part of my concern comes in. Like I said, I'm concerned I don't really have a tone or feel for this thing, and that kind of throws up a red flag for me. But also just open world and RPG aspects. That always, and it hasn't always been that way, but in the modern age with how the open worlds and RPG aspects are brought into, like, you know, not every game needs to be an open world RPG. Can I just say that? Not every single game that comes out nowadays needs to be an open world RPG. I used to think I would absolutely love it when I was younger, but I don't. I don't. Because there's so many games that come out that kind of follow the same pattern, that are following the same idea, that are following the same gameplay loop, that are making these games that were never open worlds, that were never RPGs, and they're bringing these elements into it. And it's just, sometimes I've seen it work really, really well. When you think of the open world aspect of it, kind of RPG, think of Ghost of Tsushima. That is a recent open world RPG type game. I mean, it wasn't true RPG, but you did, you know, level up and skill up and stuff. So yeah. I'd call it kind of the same thing. I'm sure it's very similar here. That was a great example of how it is done. But there's also really, really bad examples out there of how these systems are implemented. And you just look at Ubisoft as a whole company. The last recent games that they've put out all really feel like the same damn game. They all end up feeling like the same damn game. Go to this fort, take out these objectives. Fort done, move on to next fort, or move on to this activity or that activity. And it's just so much in the open world. It creates a lot of bloating. The RPG aspects can be created to create different level blockings. And we're going to dig into that in just a quick sec here. But I like diversity in my games. And I don't have the time to be spending, like, every game doesn't need to be an 80 hour, 100 hour looking at you, Assassin's Creed Valhalla experience. Not every game needs to be that. You need to have games like Guardians of the Galaxy that's coming out that we talked about earlier. That game is going to be kicking around, what people said, about 16 to 20 hours, give or take. Not a huge, huge experience. Not a massive experience, but a tight experience that you play once, you can play a new game plus mode, you can put it down and you can go play other games. Not every game needs to be these games that you just play for freaking ever. They just don't all need to be that. And the fact that what they showed of the Halo open world, I was hoping when they said they were going open world, I was hoping we were going to get something really unique, really different, really Halo specific. And then when I see, oh, a banished outpost, here's your targets, take out these three things, and you just roll in there however you want, take them out, which is, I'm sure will be cool because it's Halo, and I'm sure there will be fun in the moment, but I can't help but look at that and see, Yeah, I've seen that freaking everywhere. I've seen that everywhere before. That's nothing new. Now, how they execute it may be different. I haven't played the game myself. We've only seen a 6 minute. You know, that section was less than what? Maybe it was a minute, maybe 30 seconds, something like that. So we didn't get a full idea of how that whole works, how that all works. But it was just a red flag to see what they decided to show was something that I've seen everywhere else before. Everywhere else before. And I don't need all my games to be the same. I want some single player linear games. I want some open world. I want some RPG. I want some racing. I want some games that take me 10 hours. I want some games that take me 20 hours. I want some games maybe that do take me up to that 60 hour mark. But beyond 60 hours, come on, that's a little ridiculous. Little bit ridiculous. Or, you know, you want your multiplayer games, which kind of Halo does have also. But yeah, not every game needs to be the damn same. So that's a concern for me. Now, the open world and RPG aspects of it concern me even more. Like, the fact that the game still, you know, has that same feeling as everything else I've played is a concern. But how those elements are used concern me even more, because that can either make or break this game. Now, my main concern that brings up even more red flags for myself is concerns around the story pacing and how that open world RPG aspect affects the story pacing, but also just have concerns over the narrative choices that they may make going forward. We'll have to see. But first of all, is a sense of urgency. Halo stories have always been single player, linear stories. They haven't been massive, huge open worlds. Yeah, you have open world elements, but you hang out in them, do your mission, keep moving forward. Because there's always a narrative sense of urgency that's always pushing you along. You have to find Captain before they get the secrets. You have to find the control room, right? You have to find Halo's control room. You have to deactivate and blow up Halo, or the whole universe is gonna get destroyed. Oh, the Prophet of Truth attacking the city. Follow him. Stop him from igniting the rings. You know, oh, now they went to the Ark. Get to the Ark. We have to stop him before it destroys the whole universe. Halo 4, Cortana's dying. We have to get Cortana back. Oh, the Didact, but also Cortana. Halo 5. Find the Chief, I guess. I don't know. It didn't really seem as urgent, or at least it not for, at least I guess for Locke, I guess they're like, hurry up, find Chief kind of thing, you know? Whatever. Halo has always had a sense of urgency in the story, pushing you forward. That's why it works so well with the game design. The game design and the narrative push, the narrative momentum, kept everything tight, kept everything moving forward, and it created the experiences that we've loved time and time again. It had a sense of urgency. Now, I haven't been able to put my finger on the tone of this story. I can't tell right now if there is any sense of urgency at all. I can't tell. I have no idea what the stakes are. I have no idea what's at risk. I just have no clue. No clue. So I don't know if this actually has a sense of urgency or not. But then, let's say it does. Let's say they're trying to do something against the clock, or, you know, Cortana or the Brutes are going to destroy the galaxy with the Halo rings. Classic, right? Let's say that's the case. Okay. So how does an open world sandbox now fit into that story pacing? How does it fit into that story pacing? How can you take out this outpost, that outpost, save this group of Marines, do this other thing, and still keep that sense of urgency in the story? And that's always the biggest problem I do find a lot too with open world games. They kind of say, oh, this like terrible thing's happening. You got to get there. They're under attack and you got to make sure you get there and take them out. It's all on you. We're against the clock. You got to hurry. Then you're like, okay, I'm on my way. But wait, let me stop at these 6 bases to shoot up all these bases, capture them, and then I'll get to the main mission that's over there that's apparently in a hurry. Now, gameplay-wise, you can do whatever you want, but just from a narrative standpoint, that kind of takes it away. When they're saying there's a sense of urgency, you have to get there, go, go, go. But along the way, as you're go, go, going, you can feel free to just stop and shoot some guys over there. Maybe you want to go hunt a leopard. Whatever. Right, like that is the problem with the open world design and creating a sense of urgency. Unless the game actually takes control away from you and takes you out of the open world, puts you in those linear moments, then it really can't create that sense of urgency. Can't create, give the right sense that you're trying to create. And that's my concern here. If there is a sense of urgency, how does it play into Halo's open world design? Halos have always had a sense of urgency, have always had an energy that keeps you moving forward through the linear levels. You're always on a mission, there's always a target, there's always something you're trying to get done, and it always feels like a race against time. We gotta hurry and make this happen. Will that be the case for this game? Because I think a sense of urgency, well, in some games you could take it or leave it, I just feel like in Halo, that is part of the special sauce that makes a Halo story a Halo story. It's that sense of urgency. It's that sense of saving the universe. And we got to hurry up and get it done. So how will it all fit? I don't know. Now, the next big section I worry about, when especially when it comes to the RPG aspect, is level blocking. Because this is one of the worst ways to do RPGs. You can level up. Now, I don't know if Chief has a level. We saw some upgrades. Is Chief going to have to be at a certain level before he can move on in the story? Because again, level blocking is going to kill a story's pacing. Level blocking kills a story's pacing. Because again, maybe you have to be somewhere quickly. Maybe the story is telling you, you have to be somewhere urgently, and you have to get there. But then the game tells you, you know what, you're actually like 5 levels short, so go do some side missions and other stuff, level up, and then make your way over there once you're leveled up. It grinds the story to a complete halt, and you can't move forward without making sure you have the right levels. So as long as there's no level blocking, as long as you can just keep moving, you know, you can do the side missions, you can do the open world activities, or you can push forward through the main narrative. Like, if those are your choices and you can do those things, great. That's fantastic. But this is one of the other issues I have, is level blocking, because it can really just create a really bloated experience that slows you down, slows down the narrative, and really makes it, is one of the techniques they use to make a game feel longer than it actually is, because you're spending so much time leveling up and not doing the actual meat in the main content, so it can artificially expand the game's length. So level blocking is something that I definitely have a concern about if they decide to do it that way. Narrative-wise, my concerns narratively really is, will this story push forward? Again, we just have no freaking idea. Because Halo 5 wasn't received well. A lot of the characters weren't received well. Are they just going to kill a whole bunch of characters off screen and we're just going to find their remains as we go through this game? Or is it going to be a continuation, really, of that story moving forward? Are those characters still going to be involved? Or are we just going to find the evidence and the remains of them left behind? Right? Like, what part is Cortana playing? Is she still in control of the galaxy? Like, we have no idea. And those are the questions, obviously, you don't want answered for you going forward. But, man, like, I'm concerned with just because how Halo 5 was received with its narrative and its characters. I hope they don't just wipe out everything that they did in Halo 5. Just say, that was kind of dealt with. Now we're just moving on to something else. Sweep it on the rug and keep moving. That's what I don't want to happen. And that's what you see happen so many times. Especially look at Star Wars. That's the most recent example, right? You have Last Jedi, you have Rise of Skywalker. Rise of Skywalker pretty much said, I'm not continuing the story you were telling at the end of The Last Jedi. We're just going to backtrack on that whole damn thing. Like, there are so many scenes in Rise of Skywalker that mirrored scenes in The Last Jedi, but had a different outcome. They're like, oh, I know who your parents are. Actually, you're not who you think you are. You aren't actually a nobody. Surprise! Plot twist! Even though we said you were, you're now not. It's a job of a sequel to say yes, and then to agree to what's come before, and then say, okay, and this is where the story's going. Not to say, but I don't like it. How about this? Right? Like, that's not how a sequel is supposed to act. You don't want to just sweep under the rug your story from the last game and just do something new. You want to keep moving that narrative forward, or else it doesn't feel complete. So, yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, yeah, those are the things that are just kind of... they're issues for me. They're concerns. And I know, sorry, I totally rambled on about this one. I wasn't intending to. I guess I'm feeling a little bit rambly tonight. I don't know. But at the end of the day, look, I'm still excited to explore this new Halo experience. I'm still excited to check out this new Halo. I mean, it's new freaking Halo. I still have my concerns. That's all. I'm just optimistically cautious. I feel good about it, and I still think it's going to be great. I just think it just hasn't had a great marketing strategy. It hasn't shown us a lot, and it really just hasn't given us a tone for the idea. It hasn't really broken down how the open world's going to work. It hasn't broken down the story, and I mean, we're going to find all that stuff out eventually. I just hope it's not, you know, really disappointing. And at the end of the day too, I guess it's on Game Pass, so you don't have to worry about losing all your money. But yeah, so at the end of the day, listen, I thought this was cool. I wish we got to see a little bit more. I'm excited to explore the new Halo. I just hope it doesn't become bloated and the story doesn't suffer from it. I hope those RPG and open world mechanics don't hold back the game, but can elevate it and push it forward. Let me know what you think. Are you excited for this Halo Infinite campaign? Are you worried about the open world RPG aspects? Are you excited for them? How do you think this whole game's gonna turn out? Let me know what's on your mind. All right, let's move on into topic number two today. Another first look, but this time it's a first look. Well, kinda. It's our first look in, I guess it's technically the first, it was the first look. We got our first look at Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition, coming to the consoles and PC. We saw the trailer just a couple days ago dropped, and I think it looks freaking great. I think it looks fantastic. I'm very, very happy with what we saw in that trailer. This is a high-quality remaster. It created pretty much its own new art style just for this game. And with how old these games are, because I think people forget. When you think about remasters, you think about something from a 360 days coming forward, but this goes way back. Like, this is early 2000s. Graphics were rough. No, at the time, we all thought they were groundbreaking, right? Like, oh my god, look at these graphics. These people look so real, man. Meanwhile, they have no fingers. They just got blocks for hands. But at the time, that's kind of what it was, right? Like, that was groundbreaking graphics. But at this point, once you get to 2021, there's only so much you can do with these old games. You can't make them look like brand new games that are coming out today. You can't make a game that looks that its baseline is from the early 2000s look like it's a brand new game from the bottom up that was built in 2021. Now, that would be a whole remake. They would have to remake the entire games to get that look. But these are remasters. And really, I think they've done the best job. They've put in a lot of effort into these, as you can see. And personally, myself, I'm very happy. Very excited. Now, improvements. We see improvements in the character models, which is the first thing you notice. It really stands out when they do the, not side by side, but they do the wipe across. You're like, wow, those character models are significantly better. significantly better. Again, I talked about the block hands earlier. They have fingers now. They have fingers. Like, that's a big adjustment. That's a big adjustment. And they really, like I kind of said, also created their own art style. These characters look great. Their faces look detailed. They're not just smudgy black blurs, which is kind of what they were before. It looks great. The character designs and the character models coming out of this remaster look great. The lighting is the big one here. And I think that's the big thing that I noticed and probably most of us noticed. That was the biggest update in here. I mean, the character models look great, but the lighting is really next level. The lighting is really next level. Looks fantastic. We've seen different weather effects come in. And we also know there's going to be new GTA 5 type controls as well. So the controls have been adjusted and tweaked so they're a bit more modern. And I'm guessing that's going to be kind of like the wheel weapon. That would be my guess on that there's going to be a wheel weapon in there. And those are the kind of things. Because aren't they kind of already pretty similar? Like, I mean, maybe I don't exactly remember every control from back in the day, but I feel like they got to be pretty similar, right? Right? And kind of what I thought, I was like, well, it's got to be things like weapon wheels and radio wheels, I guess, that GTA 5 has that these other games don't, or these older ones definitely don't. So we'll see probably new features like that kind of coming into these older games. But visually, it just, again, looks great. The character models, the lighting, the weather effects, the type of different controls. It looks like a really, the details on the guns. Like, it just looks like a really, really good job. It looks fantastic. And I mean, you can't always make everybody happy, I guess, at the end of the day, too. Because there are people who are complaining about this. There are people who saw that trailer and it's like, nah, this looks like crap. This is not what I had in mind. I want Mafia, the Definitive Edition. That's what I want these games to be, which Mafia, the Definitive Edition was a total remake. It wasn't a remaster. Mafia 2, Definitive Edition, was a remaster. Completely same game, just 4K 60. Upgraded a few things here and there, make it look a little better. But Mafia 1 was a total and complete remake. They built that game from the ground up. These are not remakes. They're not getting built from the ground up. They're getting built off the base that is Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. So they're not going to, like I said before, look exactly like the newest games out today. But for what they've done for the remaster, it again, like I said, it looks great. My favorite part is the art style of these things. They're kind of cartoony, and I think that is going to make it a lot more fun to play. Just the style of it looks so cool. It looks so cool. Very different than what you'd be expecting a game like Grand Theft Auto to be putting out. But yeah, that's what it is. And you know, like, when I look at those graphics, it looks like night and day to me. I'm like, oh, that looks significantly better. And maybe I think some of the people nowadays, probably just too young, never played the originals, don't remember what games looked like back then. So you knew, like, if you played those, you knew you weren't coming in getting, like, this whole, like, the shiniest, newest thing or anything like that. And people just had wrong expectations at the end of the day. But listen, they could have just given us a 4K 60 frames per second over top the games and called it a day, right? Because that's what remasters generally do. They give you the game in 4K 60 frames a second, say have a good day, you're on your way, take care. Oh wait, just make sure you pay me first. That'll be like $40, $50, sometimes 60, right? That's usually how it works out, just for 4K 60 frames per second. Now, if you have a PC, most of your games can just be adjusted to 4K 60 frames per second or higher. Consoles, you know, you gotta pay for that. So what kind of remasters, for the most part, are kind of ripoffs to console owners. Like, they should just give you the ability to update those things. That's just what I think. But Listen, this isn't just 4K 60 frames per second. Clearly, a lot of effort and a lot of care was put in here. So people who are complaining, saying it's not as beautiful as they thought it was going to be, or it looks like trash, we should be very happy. And I'm not going to say thankful, because I never want to say thankful. They're a company, we're paying the money for a product. There's no thankfulness that has to be brought in here. We can be excited, happy, joyful, and I'm excited and happy with what they did. But clearly it was a lot of effort that was put in here. So I wouldn't personally be complaining at it. I'm happy they put in the effort, because they also, you know, put the price up there too. So price wise, you're looking at $60 American for this thing, $70 Canadian. And it is a little high for a remaster, but again, I'm going to still say it's fair. I'm going to say it's fair because of the effort they put in. Now, these are still three games that are coming for $60. Three games coming for $60 American. That's not too bad. That's not too bad. That's a pretty decent bundle. I guess with remasters, sometimes they even drop it a little bit lower, right? But you're paying $40-$50. Usually it's for one remaster. It's not for the whole package. And most of them, again, are 40K. Oh, man, that's a high, high resolution. 4K, 60 frames per second. This is not that. It is 4K, 60 frames per second, but it also has all the visuals, all the lighting, all the gameplay updates that are getting brought to it. Obviously, they put in a lot of work on it. So I think for three games remastered for that level of quality, $60 is more than fair. On the remaster side of things, it is a little high, but it's still fair. Now, if this thing was coming at $120, I'd say don't get it, right? Like that is way too expensive. But this thing's coming out at $60, so not too bad. I'd say still fair. And San Andreas is coming to Game Pass as well, so that's kind of cool. You don't have to worry about that if you just want to play San Andreas and you have Game Pass. You're already gold. If you have PlayStation Now and you just want to play GTA 3, you're already gold, because GTA 3 is coming to PlayStation Now. If you just want to play Vice City, well, you are SOL, buddy. You're SOL. It's not coming anywhere, but it's in the package. You got to buy the package. But if you want to play those two things and you have, you know, a PlayStation with PlayStation Now and an Xbox with Game Pass, you got two out of the three already. For free. So it's not too bad. They're making kind of little fun ways for you also. I don't know, fun ways, but different ways, I guess, probably to promote their package. Play this game, enjoy it, and you want to play the others? Pony up that money. So yeah, I think the pricing is fairly fair. Now, it's coming out November 11th, digitally. And if you want it physical editions, it's coming out December 7th. But we know physical isn't exactly physical as it used to be. Most of it's not on the disc anymore. Most of it's in the cloud or in the servers, and it has to download still. So, I don't know. I'd probably go digital. November 11th, play a little early. Or if you want to wait till Christmas, you got a lot of games on your plate, December 7th works well too. But again, just watching this trailer was... it was so freaking awesome. Looking at it, I can't believe these games look that good, and they still were able to keep the charm of the GTA trilogy, but just make it look better, right? Like, if you brought it into the modern age, completely redid it from the ground up, you're gonna lose the charm that really was those games. Now we get to keep all the charm, and it just looks that much better. And the lighting, I think that was the really big standout. All those shots, whether it was the reflection off the train, whether it was the city lights at night, whether it was Vice City in the daytime by the beach, like all the lighting looked so good. That was such a standout for me. It blows my mind. It blows my mind they're able to get that done. But it looks great. This is a really high quality remaster. A lot of work, a lot of effort went into it. And at the end of the day, I'm very happy all around, and I'm excited to jump back in and re-experience, but it looks better this time, re-experience some of my favorite childhood gaming memories. So let me know what you think about the Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition. Are you excited for this thing? Have you played GTA 4? Do you remember how those old games looked? Does this look better to you? Yeah, I hope so. Are you happy about this? What do you think about the pricing? And are you going to be playing San Andreas in Game Pass or GTA 3 on PlayStation Now? Let me know what's on your mind. And that's all for this episode of Gaming Night Radio. Let me know what's going on inside that melon of yours. What are your thoughts on today's topics? And please, if you have thoughts on our big question, is gaming sustainable? Share your voice. I'd love to chat with you. You can leave a voice message on speakpipe.com/GK Radio Connect. Email me at gamingnightradio@gmail.com or DM me on Twitter at GK Radio Man. Again, links are in the show notes. And we're going to be live recording episodes very soon, so follow on Twitch as well. I'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of Gaming Night Radio. This has been episode 29. I'm Matt Daly. Thank you for listening. Until next time, bye-bye. You've been listening to Gaming Night Radio, the perfect podcast for your gaming nights. With reviews, news, and discussions, we celebrate the best of gaming and call out the worst. Follow me on Twitter at GK Radio Man. Thank you for listening. See you next time.